Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
To our panel today. This is always a really favourite week of our People of Purpose Month, where we hear from people in our congregation who are just living out that commission to go and be disciples, to make disciples of all people. And so we really want to welcome our panel this morning because I think what's really on my heart is that God's called all of us to be witnesses, regardless of our personality, regardless of the gifting that He's given us. Each of us have a responsibility to be witnesses. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from our panel today.
All right, great. So we've got Roddy, we've got Eugene, we've got Amy. And so I'm going to kick off. I see my name's here. I'd love you to just introduce yourselves. Let's start on the side here. Introduce yourselves and tell us how you came to be passionate about evangelism. Also tell us a little bit about what you do, because I know every single one of you do something different. Roddy, you go.
My name's Rodrigo. Roddy's probably easier. I'll just share a quick story. I've been a Christian for 25 years, and I'm originally from Richmond AAG, which is now Pneuma, the city campus. Just becoming passionate about sharing the good news is just, I think it's something innate that we have as human beings that God has probably placed in us that, you know, if you have good news, you want to share it with someone. Everyone wants to be the first to tell. And for me, it's just what I've experienced in my life on this journey. It's just something that you want to share with others. And I've had opportunities to do that in many different settings. My first place was with Belinda, sharing with young primary school kids. Then I did it with sporting people. And now I'm doing it in a youth prison. So I work in prisons at the moment.
In prisons, youth prisons. Yeah, awesome. I had to repeat that. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That's great. Eugene.
I'm Eugene. I am a GP. I'm a dad. I'm a son. I'm a husband. Evangelism is, I'm not sure whether I call it a passion, but it's kind of a way of life almost.
That's good.
It's a calling, it's a mission. God has given us all a job to be our witnesses, to take the light to all parts of the world. So no matter which area or nook and cranny in the world you are, we're supposed to bring His light. And sometimes that light shines really bright, and sometimes we hide it under a bushel, and sometimes we're not perfect. We are in the process of being perfected day by day. So. Sitting up here, I'm not saying I have accomplished any of this at all. I'm on a journey just like you are, learning to overcome the hurdles that we all face and all the different rationalizations and thoughts we put into our head saying, oh no, someone else will do it. Oh no, I don't have time. Oh no, someone else will do it. I'll just do that bit and that's enough. But I think as I grow more and more in Christ, the more I realize how weak I am and how many failures I've got to work on and keep improving and becoming more Christ-like. And each day is new, but the more you surrender your pride, the more you surrender your life, the more you surrender your hopes and dreams, the easier it is for God to speak and to use you. And the more, the easier it is for you to be obedient. Because there's a lot of reasons why we don't obey. Sorry, I'm getting a bit...
Yeah. Those questions are coming. Belinda's like in chill. Amy.
Hi, I'm Amy. I was brought up in a Christian home at 11. I went to a Youth Alive concert and call it a concert. I don't know what they were called back in the day. But
Rally,
yeah. And I felt God beating on my heart and I went up the front and gave my life to Him. And then I'm sure a lot of people can relate. Once you first find Jesus, you're just on fire and you want everyone else to know about Him. And so I was inviting. The next night I brought a friend and he got saved. And then, and then I was just like, okay, well, that season of my life, I'm at school. I went to an Anglican school There was only two of us who were actually Christians, so that was then the mission. And I was a nurse, and so that was another area that God placed me in. And I just think whatever season you're in, your main purpose is Him and
come
others.
On, come on.
And yeah. So every day that's the purpose. There's loving on others and showing God's love for others. So good.
Belle.
It's good. So we're all called to be God's witnesses. So what does that look like in your life with, say, the personality that God's given you, the giftings that God's given you, the place that He's placed you in? What does it that look like for you to be His witness? Amy, maybe we'll start with you.
Yeah, so the places have changed over the years. As a nurse, I guess I was... I mean, I didn't become a nurse for me. It was an area where I felt that I could help others, and I've always just loved helping others. And I guess that meant, you know, patients were in their lowest, darkest days, and I would just be asking God to use me however, and obviously being quite sensitive to people's situations. But I just remember this one gentleman, and he was just like, why are you doing this? He was so angry at every nurse who came, and no one wanted to care for him. And I went in there one day and I was helping him with his shoes. He'd lost a lot of function. And I remember him saying, why are you doing this? And I said, because I love to help others. And just seeing him soften in that moment, something just changed in him. And I just find every area, now being a mum and a wife, and now playing golf, that's now the area where God's using me. It's just being open every day to whatever circumstance you're in, whatever people you're surrounded by.
So good.
Yeah. Huge.
Remind me of the question again.
God's called all of us to be His disciples. So what does that look like for you, taking into consideration the giftings He's given you, the personality? What does that look like in your life?
So I think in every stage in life, God can use whatever you're at. I know when I was younger, I grew up in youth, I grew up in a church, I was a youth leader, I would go on mission trips, sometimes we'd go stand on the street corner and try and meet people and talk to them. But that was because I had time as a youth. I could spend all my time reaching out, sharing.
Are you listening, youth?
In those days, we didn't have Instagram and Facebook.
Are you listening, youth?
No, but it comes out of your relationship with Jesus.
Come on,
that's where it all comes from. And if you fan that relationship, the fire burns hot, and you go, oh, there's so many people that don't know, that don't have this relationship, then you're inspired. I've got to tell them. So when I was younger, that was, I think it was all consuming. Maybe it was burning too bright, I don't know. But as you go through different stages, you have to adapt, but listen to what God is telling you.
Yeah, right?
Now, as a GP, I'm so busy, I'm running around from one to the next. But God, when my relationship with God is good and I'm listening, then I will hear.
Come on.
And I'll say, and He'll say, stop. Just put your hand on this person and pray for them. Like, you know. But when you obey God, you see such amazing things. When you convince yourself, no, I'm too busy today, I've got to run, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, then you kind of miss that opportunity to be His hands and His feet. So like I said, every day isn't like that. I wish it was. I wish I had my relationship as strong and as bright as I could. But when I do obey, it's amazing.
And Roddy, also, it'd be probably for you as well, Huge, but, you know, you go into a prison and you're not allowed to actually overtly preach the word. So what does being God's witness look like in a place where you're actually not allowed to, you know, talk about the gospel?
Yeah, it can be challenging. I'll just go back to the first question just to answer before I forget it, because I will forget. We're all called to the same thing, so we could get any three or four people up here, and your story and your experiences would be just as impacting, just as powerful. And we shared earlier when we were just met up in the morning about, you know, different stages of life, where you're at, your personality. My first experience was sharing at Christian religious education, which I don't think exists anymore, CRE, we believe that. So it was at Richmond. I signed up to volunteer and I thought, yep, I'll go and do this. God put it on my heart. So, you know, we're teaching, we're singing songs to young primary school kids, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. And that personality for me was perfect because I was quite shy. I was a new Christian. You know, I was on fire, but I was still new. So my personality at that stage, God knew exactly what to put me. Young kids, sing songs, do little things, not embarrassing, fine. Next, you move on. You know, I was fortunate enough to play sport as a job, as a living. Different environment, you know, 20, 30 young men between the ages of, you know, 16 to 35. Totally different environment. You know, young men, social media, wanting to go out, women, all different things that they're involved in. So a different personality. I've grown, matured, so a different way of sharing with people. My experience in the dressing room, to put it plainly, wasn't to go out and preach to them because I knew that the place I was in, it was more me showing them how I lived, my fruits, and them coming to me. So 99% of my Christian journey sharing with people has not been me telling them, has been people coming and asking about me. And with the young kids, we shared with them, we sang songs, we taught them Bible stories. In my professional career, people coming to me. Now in prison, very similar. We're not allowed to openly come out and share the gospel with young people. So we've got kids from young as 10 to 25 years of age there. We've got young women there as well. But they see the way I act. There's a few other Christians floating around in prison. And they come to me and they ask. These things are amazing. I encourage you all.
Come on, come on.
Yeah, conversation starters. The kids will ask, "Oh, are you a Christian?" And that just opens the door. And as soon as they ask me, then I'm free to share as much as I want. So that's been a real blessing. And again, a different stage of my life, a different setting, different ways to share. So I think for me, just to encourage everyone here, whether you're, you know, young and in high school or, you know, a bit older like us and, you know, working in your career, there's always a place where you can share, and God has a specific purpose for you and your personality and your character and your crowd, whether it's one-on-one, you know, like I shared earlier, my daughter's very quiet and shy. Whether you're shy, God will use your shyness to reach someone similar to you.
Yeah.
You know, we don't all have to be the same because we won't reach everyone if we're all the same.
And I think on that, it reminds me, so Roddy and I used to teach RE at Richmond Primary back in the day, what it would be about 20 years ago or something now, and not to underestimate what God can do in those situations. You know, one story that really stands out to me was we used to go in with another friend of ours, actually Roddy's now mum-in-law.
Just a quick story, I met my mother-in-law before I met my wife, and it was through CRE, so you know, God is always watching,
and so we would go in and teach these kids, and on one particular day it was about listening to God, and Bella said to the kids, "I just want you to close your eyes and I just want you to hear if God says anything to you." Now these are unchurched kids, never stepped foot in a church. They're in Richmond, which is probably, you know what Richmond's like, I don't want to go there. But, you know, and she said, "I just want you to, you know, does God say anything to you?" And we had a couple of minutes silence. This is preps, five-year-olds. And to hear what the kids said, they said, "Oh, God told me that he's my friend," or "God told me he loves me," and things that are normal for us, but these are unchurched kids, you know, God speaking to a five-year-old in Richmond Primary. So not to underestimate what God can do in each of those, whatever, wherever God's placed you.
That's so good. Mm. So good. Such a good answers. I have a question though. All right. Now, in each of what you've just shared, there would be challenges. Yeah, one of them, of course, is you can't just openly, so we've unpacked that. But what challenge have you faced? It doesn't have to be now. It could be when you were younger. It could also be, before you even got married, wherever. And how have you overcome the obstacles? So the idea with this question is that we want people here to understand, and people listening afterwards on the podcast, to understand that even though I face obstacles, there is, you know, there are ways that, that we can overcome the obstacles. So Eugene, let's start with you, and then we go to Amy, and then to Roddy.
So as a GP, I'm very privileged to hear lots of stories, and they come, and often there's a time when you can speak words of life into them, into their situation. But sometimes you need to kind of have a conversation outside of that setting, because, well, you can't charge them for it and all that sort of stuff. The government's got a whole bunch of rules and regulations around it. So sometimes I just have to find another way, say, oh, if you're free on this day, let's have a short catch-up after work. So that's one way around some of the issues. I guess at different stages, there were different struggles. So I think when I was younger, one of the main issues was fear, and most of that was all the thoughts in my head of what will they do, what will they think of me, what if someone is angry, upset, and whatnot. But fear is faith pointing in the wrong direction. Yeah. So part of it as youth was learning, hang on, I don't live by the spirit of fear. I live in the spirit of life. So I've got to learn to live in the spirit of life.
Yes.
And to do that, you've got to put yourself to death in that sense. You've got to put your own desires, your own worries, your own concerns, you know. But a dead person doesn't have feelings. So if you're dead to yourself, but your spirit is alive, then you're living according to the spirit, and you're not worried then. Then you can go out and you feel freedom, and you're actually living in the spirit. It's more exciting. And it's more spontaneous, because your brain will hold you back from a whole bunch of things, because we live in this world, and because you've seen a whole bunch of bad things happen to other people, and you will also look at other people standing on the corner, you know, holding their billboard, you know, singing or preaching the word of God, and going, nah, I wouldn't do that. But God doesn't call all of us to be the same.
Yeah.
He calls you to be the light, but for you to be the light, you have to be obedient. He might just want you to buy a hamburger for the person and then sit down and chat about his life.
Yeah.
There are other times when God would say, just give someone $50 and no strings attached. You just, God told me to give you this and then walk away. Yeah. And you can see God doing amazing things just by being obedient.
Yeah.
And who you are and your personality and how you come up to them and, you know, I'm not as cool as some of the younger kids and my kids, so they'll do it in their own way, you know. But the one big hurdle is ourselves.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's dying to ourselves and dying to fear, dying to, oh no, what if they put me in prison? What if they shoot me? What if they hit me? What if they gang up against me? There's all these thoughts, but we've got to capture those thoughts and submit those thoughts to God and then live by faith.
Yeah, that's good, because I think this goes hand in hand with that. If we realize our purpose on earth is not for this, this is temporal. Our purpose is kingdom. Yeah, then we realize that there is more of an urgency to step out. There's more of an urgency to die to self and step out in faith. I mean, Jesus came. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to reveal the Father. Yeah, and we are created in his image. So we are here to reveal the Father. That's the main purpose. That's what we've got to remember. The temporal stuff, I mean, the fear of man is temporal. I mean, they are only going to be here for a certain amount of time. But we are here, and we are believers, to reveal the Father, the heart of the Father to the people. So it's great. Yeah.
But on that, and as we talk about Jesus, you realize when Jesus walked on the earth, he didn't heal every single person who was sick. He didn't witness to every single person. He stayed on mission.
Yeah.
So he obeyed God step by step by step. And when God told him stop, he stopped. When God, you know, put your hand on the dead person's who was coming out of the city, you know, Jesus went up and put his hand on it and stopped it, because God was using his compassion.
Yeah.
And that was Jesus' personality.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't raise every single person who died.
Yeah.
He stayed on his mission to finish his task for him. And now that we are all like Jesus, can you imagine Jesus is up there going, hey, these are my hands and feet. They can go to 50,000 different people at the same time, whereas Jesus could only go on one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you need to stay on your mission that God calls you. But the only way you can do that is when you are not living for yourself, when you're living for him.
So good. So good. Amy.
2021, we all remember that year. At the beginning of the year, I just remember God saying, you either fear man or you fear me. And my goodness, was it a testing year? That was actually the year that my husband created a T-shirt that says boldly Jesus on the back of it. And so that's what we were wearing that whole year. But I remember going to New Zealand. We had a bubble between Melbourne and New Zealand, and I felt God give me a word for one of my uncles who was a believer. And family, that's a challenge. Family is scary. Like, I find talking to a stranger about Jesus, that comes quite naturally to me when it's family and you know that there could be repercussions. But he'd given me a word and I had to be obedient, and I literally felt like God pushing me. I went for a walk and I felt him pushing me all the way to go see my uncle. He wasn't actually there, so there was another man at his workplace, and I prayed for him, but I still felt prompted to give him the word. So I wrote it in a message, and it was out of love. It wasn't condemning him or anything like that, but it obviously touched a nerve, and it got back to my dad. And as a daughter, I always wanted to please my dad and make him proud.
Wow.
But more importantly, I want to please my Heavenly Father. And so there was repercussions. My dad then called me, and it was a very, very challenging conversation. But even in that conversation with my dad, the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes you feel like you don't have all the answers and you don't know the word well enough to preach it. You know what? Holy Spirit turns up every time, and every accusation that my dad pointed at me, Holy Spirit just brought the word. And I got off the phone and I was a mess and I was shaking, and then I just went straight to the word, and God just confirmed everything that he had brought to my mouth. He just confirmed it in his word, and I went, you know what, that is what I've been placed on earth to do. And he backs you up every time. So it's so worth stepping out in faith. And I know that me doing that was a testimony to my dad too, to be bold in his faith. So, yeah, fear of man is the challenge, but I would rather fear him.
Amen. Amen. Quickly, your challenge, you said your new season is the golf. What's the challenge there? Because that's now every day, yeah?
You know what? I'm playing golf with people who are generations older than me. And I think I have this mentality that the older generation may be more conservative, and they've been brought up going to church at some period of their life. And a lot of them have, but they have become accustomed to this world and the thinkings of this world. And so they're very opinionated and very strong in their opinions. And I'm just starting these conversations with these people. And this one lady, she just started asking me. She actually asked where the kids go to school. And that's always a good avenue into that conversation. They go to Donvale Christian College. And she said, oh, are you one of those weird Christians? I was like, it's a Pentecostal church. And I was explaining that. And I said, we just believe the Bible. It's nothing weird. And she was like, I went to church when I was younger. She goes, I don't know why I stopped. And I said, well, do you still believe? And she said, no, I don't think I do. And so I just got to challenge her in that moment. I said, just in your quiet time, I said, just ask him to reveal himself to you. And he will. He does every time. And Yeah, she kept saying the word, it's so interesting, because she doesn't come across many people that still believe in God. And so, you know, I love golf. I'm very passionate about golf, but that's not my purpose for being there, is not to
come on
play well or whatever. It's literally to be Jesus to these people. So
awesome. Okay, Roddy.
I guess it's, yeah, again, like what you said, it's more about yourself. And, you know, when I was a new Christian, it was, you know, how do I share? Like, am I worthy? You know, like, I'm not good enough to be sharing. And really the thing I would say as you mature and you grow is, you know, even for the young ones, like, God sees your heart. You know, it's not what you've done. You know, you've had a bad week. You feel like you've been a bad husband or a bad father, you haven't spent much time with the kids. God sees your heart, whether you're 10 or you're pushing to 100. And then he gives you opportunities because he knows you. And for me the challenge was, how do I share? But God knew my heart, so he gave me opportunities to share. Like I said earlier, sharing with kids was a perfect way to start with me. Sharing with older, testosterone-filled young men, very different, but you know, God knew my heart. He knew I wanted to share, and he gave me opportunities. I was, you know, in positions where, you know, I was slightly successful. And, you know, there was in the Herald Sun, The Age, 2-page spread, you know, me with my T-shirt saying I love Jesus. Like, I didn't have to say anything. It was in the papers. Come I don't on. Know who saw it. I don't know what impact it had, but, you know, God made a way. So, you know, there's, again, he sees your heart. He knows where you're at. Your personality may be different to everybody else. You know, I used to envy people that could just, you know, come up to someone and say, oh, do you know Jesus? You know, and speak about it. But it's not the same for everyone. That wasn't me, you know. And so, me trying to be someone else, it wasn't going to work, because God made me the way I am for a purpose and for a certain people and for a certain time, certain environment. So, you know, knowing how to speak to people and when to speak to people and what to say to people, for me, was about trusting God. You know, and it's not always audible. It's not always talking. Sometimes it is. Sometimes someone will come up and you ask and you answer and you'll be as honest as you can. Other times, for me, like I said, most of my 47 years of age has been people coming to me and asking, oh, you're a Christian? Oh, I see the way you, you know. In prison, my team of five, there's four of us that are Christian. One's a non-believer. By himself, he said, oh, a couple of months ago, oh, I've been YouTubing about Jesus and he wants to know all about God. He just had a daughter, her name is Grace. He got her baptized in a Catholic church. So he's on his journey too. But I know that I haven't said a word to him. Mm. You know, he knows the way I am, my team are.
Come on.
So that's been our ministry in that way. So, yeah, I guess for me it's trusting in God and, you know, he knows your heart, so if you trust him, he will make a way for you.
I just want to wrap that up before I hand over to Belle. I think what we're hearing there is using every platform, if I can, in inverted commas, from the newspaper, sharing Jesus, to the golf, to having a coffee, buying somebody a burger, you know, whatever, using every platform, being aware and obedient, listening, awesome. So good. Belle.
Yeah, no, we'd love to hear just some of your stories. Maybe you've got some specific stories where God's really used you to just be his witness or to actually share the gospel. Amy, do you want to start this?
My first experience nursing, and, you know, you have to be sensitive. You can't just be preaching it out loud. But I didn't feel adequate. I didn't feel like I was living the perfect life. But I would still, on the way to work, pray that God would use me. And you know what? It's not about us.
Yeah.
It's about who he wants to reach. And there was this one gentleman who you had to be really patient with. And he didn't want anyone else. And I was just a student nurse, but he wanted me to help him every day. And I remember he was actually going home, and he was going home for palliative care. We didn't know how long he had, but I remember it was going to be the last day that I was going to see him. And I just went, oh, Lord, like I have to, like this is, you know, this is life and death. And I just remember walking in his room and I just asked him the question. I said, are you scared? Mm. And he said, I'm petrified. And I said,
wow.
I said, you don't have to be. I said, I am not afraid of dying and you don't need to be either. And he knew that I was a Christian because he'd asked me about church. And I said, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? And look, I prayed this prayer with him. It was not polished. It was terrible. It was awkward. But he prayed it, and I knew that he believed it. And he had had an upbringing of Christianity, so he had some background. But I remember finishing praying with him and walking out and just being so humbled that God would use me. My goodness, it's like the greatest feeling on earth. And then going past his room a little later, and I walked in, and he was just laying there, and he was just glowing. Like, he was just glowing, and I walked in, and he was just in tears, and he was like, I just can't believe Jesus would do this for me. You know, like, he really understood it. And,
Wow.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Wow.
You, Jill Roddy, have you got some, you know, opportunities, and how did you know when was the right time to sort of bring something up?
There's one that comes to mind when I was at university, and I think I was at Monash, and there's this long, long building, and I was walking along the outside corridor, and there was a guy just sitting there. He looked a bit sad, but I was just about to walk past him, and then I felt, I've got to stop. Why? And then, you know, when you're about to be, when God speaks to you, sometimes you'll feel your heart going boom, 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 boom. Like he's going to jump out of your chest. And I thought, why am I stopping? He's going to think I'm a weirdo or whatever. But usually that's one sign I've noticed that, yeah, God wants me to do something that's outside of my comfort zone is my heart will go do, 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 do. And I'm like, no, that's just nothing. Someone else will see him. Or, you know, that's when all those thoughts come and I realize, no, I've got to stop. And this time I was obedient and I stopped and I just sat down with him and I was quiet at first. I didn't know what to say. And then he looked up and I said, hi, I'm so-and-so. How are you? He goes, I'm not feeling so good. And so then I talked about asking questions a bit about himself. And then we got to talking about... then I said, look, do you mind if I pray for you? He goes, pray? What will that do, you know? I said, look, you don't know what it's going to do. But at the moment, doing what you're doing is not going to... you're going to get the same result. So if I pray for you, maybe something else will happen. That will be outside of what you're currently experiencing. So I prayed for him, and he said, oh, that felt a bit strange. I said, would you like me to pray some more? So I prayed some more, and then he goes, why am I feeling this? And then I got the chance to say, well, this is because Jesus loves you, and what you're feeling is a little bit of his love. It's just a little raindrop. Would you like to know more? So then I prayed more with him, and then he started to get really hot. And then I said, oh, wow, that's God is touching you. And so then I sort of led him in a modified version of the sinner's prayer because I really didn't know exactly what to say. But I said, look, let me introduce you to Jesus. Just follow these words and ask him to come into your heart. And then when God came in, God, so if you could physically see something was happening to him. His eyes were fluttering. He was feeling hot and everything. So at the end of that, I couldn't quite... I had to go to my next lecture, and he was still feeling something going on. I said, I've got to go. I'll try and come back and see you later. I've got to go for this lecture or whatever. And he said, okay, I'm happy here. And after that, I came back, but he was gone. I never saw him again. But to me, from that experience, I was like, oh, wow. I was like, I was like Jesus' gloves, you know, he could use me to touch someone, but so just because I stopped and I felt that feeling. And I think that's a lot of the time, that's our hang up is we're too busy, we've got to rush off, we've got to do something or the other. And we'll go, oh, someone else will do it. Oh no, God hasn't called me to do that. That's not me. Sometimes it's not you standing on the street corner with a billboard saying, yeah, the end is near, come to Jesus. That's not you. But you've got a mouth and a voice, and you've got your relationship that you can share.
Yes.
And you can pray.
Yeah, so good.
So if you just do those simple things, you will see God do amazing things.
I just want to jump in. Sorry, Belle. Two obvious things. Common. Did not have the polished sinner's prayer. We don't have to have a polished sinner's prayer. I want to say that many people don't pray because they are afraid that they pray wrong. You can't. You just ask that Jesus come into your heart. Forgive them of sin. Full stop. It's good.
It's not supposed to be complicated.
It's not meant to be complicated, but we complicated it. We do. All right.
Because there actually is, so physical training is good. So all the gym buffs, you know that if you go and train, you will get muscles. But spiritual training, if you train, you will get spiritual muscles. And the Bible says spiritual training will last for eternity. So part of spiritual training is praying. Part of it is going out of your comfort zone and, you know, trying it out. And one thing that came to mind is, you know, sometimes we're scared to go out into the world to try. So if you're scared to go out to try, then learn to hear God's voice in church. Mm. Yes. Go up to someone and say, hey, so-and-so, I've seen you here a few times. Can I pray for you? And just, you know, see what that feels like. Or God feels I've got to give you this watch, or I've got to give you $50, or, you know. If you make mistakes in the family, it's not as bad as, you know, when you're going outside.
I feel that's a word from God.
Actually, it sometimes family is harder sometimes. So you do you.
Not the leader, really.
You do you. But that's another place to test out hearing God's voice and being obedient. If you can do it, if you can train yourself here, then it's a lot easier than when you're outside.
Yeah, and just as we wrap up, Roddy, have you got a story that you'd like to share of just an opportunity that you've had?
I like the UDU slogan. Looking at church slogan.
Yeah. But,
not really one in particular. I guess again, like I've been sharing, everyone's journey and everyone's way is different.
Yeah.
For me, I've had occasions where, and we spoke earlier when we met about the unseen. Like you don't know your impact you have.
Mm.
I haven't had the chance to sit with someone and lead them through the sinner's prayer. And not everyone gets that chance, but I've had other chances, and I've had experiences where I was at a football club for 7 years and we had a lot of backroom staff, accountants, maybe 5 years after I'd finished playing there. The accountant reached out to me. This was, never expected to hear from him. And he sent me a text and he said, Roddy, I know you were a Christian the whole time and you were playing, and I just want to let you know I've started going back to church, and you know, my family's this, I was away from God. So for me, that was like, wow, like my impact, I didn't see that. I didn't know the impact I'd had. And I've had that a few times, even with young people in prison, that, you know, I spend months with some of them years, and then they leave our care and they're back in the community and we never see them again. But you trust in God that, you know, that little bit that you put in place has an impact.
Yeah.
And maybe I put that little bit in place and then you lead him to the prayer and then they fall, they have it, and then she takes up. So we all play our part. So for me that was, like moments like that were really special where people reached out to me. I had teammates just come to church at Richmond AOG and they knew I was a Christian. They text me, oh, where's your church? And I gave them the address and they just rocked up one morning. They came 2-3 weeks in a row. They didn't come the week after, but now, like, I don't really know what they're doing. But again, it's our faith knowing that, you know, you play your part and God will do the rest. So for me, that's been the most powerful
part. So good.
Awesome.
So good, man.
No, that was really great to hear your stories. Why don't we just give it up for our panel? Thanks for being obedient and joining us this morning.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.